Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to go to Romans chapter 5 to start with tonight. I'm actually, in about 35 minutes, going to bring our series to a close on the subject of grace because I got some other stuff on the runway I want to preach. And so we're going to kind of go through this a little bit fast, but I want to just talk to you where this is understanding grace. I'm thinking this might be the fourth message, I believe. But what I want to talk about tonight is how to access grace, how to step into it. And, because I kind of wet your taste a little bit. And I talked about there's four main ways that we access the grace of God. Number one, by faith. Number two, we do it by humility. Number three, by knowledge. And number four, by boldness. And so I'm going to talk about those tonight. Glory to God. You going to believe with me? We're going to get through this because I really do have, Pastor Chuck's going to be here. Eveline Sunday morning, and then Brother Brett's going to be here. And so I just want to get through this tonight. So is that all right? If we go five minutes after 8, will you be all right? Will you make it?
Amen.
He'll give me 10 minutes after. How about 20? All right, we'll see here. Let's go here to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, I love that. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So, grace has to be accessed. It has to. You have to. There has to be an access. Into it. In other words, you got to open the door. You got to get inside.
Right.
Amen. And so it's like I've got an outside building and it's got a combination lock on it. And if you want to get in, you got to know how to do it. You got to know what it is. And so in my garage, most people have that, the outside garage door opener thing. It's got a code. You know how to get into it, and all. So I don't just give that to anybody, because I just don't want anybody getting in there. Right? My neighbor, he knows what it is, so he can get in and take care of things when I'm gone, and I know what his is, so I can get in his house and take care of things when he's gone and so forth. But I don't just give it out to the whole neighborhood. I don't want everybody to have access. But God wants us to have access to His grace. And see, we have to understand faith is one of the ways we access the grace of God. The grace of God being His ability, His power, His enabling, amen, and all that. And so, think about Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, the Bible says that Sarah received strength to conceive seed when she was past age. And I might add, she was way past age. She was 90 years old. And Abraham's 100. But yet, their faith accessed grace, God's power, to bring that to pass. And I'll tell you something, when you study the Bible, some of you didn't know this because some of you said something to me about it when we did the read through the Bible last year. I didn't know Abraham had 6 more kids. Yeah. He not only had Isaac, but after Sarah died, you talk about a fix. God fixed this guy because the Bible says his body was already dead, reproductive dead, And so he was over with. And God fixed him so much that he got remarried. Who gets remarried when they're 100 and some years old? he got remarried. I don't know, he might have been like 124. I can't remember what the age was when he got remarried. But he was old, gets remarried and have 6 more kids. So this guy was fixed. But him and Sarah accessed that by faith, see? See, there's something about this that people don't understand. See, people want to talk about, God does what He wants to do. He heals who He wants to heal. There's all kinds of churches in America all over the place, even Spirit-filled churches, that they just believe it's all up to God. But but you read the Bible. Just read the Bible. That'll help a lot of people. A lot of churches and a lot of preachers, it'd help them if they just studied the Bible. We got to get back to this in the ministry. You go back in the book of Acts and the Bible says that they handed the duties of stuff off to the deacons. And they just gave themselves to the ministry of the word and prayer.
Amen.
Amen. What would happen to the churches and Christianity in America if every pastor did that? It'd change things. And they'd learn some things that Jesus many times said, your faith made you whole. Your faith accessed this grace. It was your faith that did it. It wasn't like God chose to do this. Now, God sometimes initiates healings on His own. That's His business, right? I mean, you see that in the Bible where Jesus just initiated some healings on His own. But a lot of the people that got healed in Jesus' ministry, it says, He said to them, your faith made you whole. You tapped into something here, see? And so we, faith is one of the ways we access God's grace or His ability. We just believe for it. We just believe for God's grace to be on us. Hallelujah. For His ability to be on us. Praise God. Amen. So, you know, the Bible says we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Because that's the way we access grace. It's this faith thing, you know. And I know we've gotten a lot of flack. I told Phyllis, you know, just something happened just recently, and I told her, man, I'm so glad I'm a Word of Faith guy. Now, listen to me. You know, when I first met Dr. Barclay, you know, at a church, we was in the back room just talking, and I told him, you know, what I believed, and he goes, oh, you're a Word of Faith guy. You're Brother Hagin, Word of Faith. And I knew what he meant, because there's a lot of weirdness in the Word of Faith movement. It's not scriptural. And Brother Hagin, but he kept the balance, he kept it in the center of the road, you know, and he tried to keep people in line. He tried to keep those that were followers of his, he tried to keep them in line with faith and, you know, the message of prosperity, because, you know, you'll hear preachers take slats at prosperity. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Well, there's no prosperity gospel, there's just the gospel.
Right.
You got that? Right. And if you can't find any verses in your Bible that says God promises to meet your needs, then you're not reading it. So just stop preaching until you read your Bible. No, I don't believe all of the stuff that people preach about prosperity and some of the excess, but I believe what the Bible says, that my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I feel real comfortable saying that because that's from the Spirit of God. That's a Bible verse. Are you with me now? And I feel real comfortable that God's able to make all grace abound towards me, financial grace, that's what it's talking about. That always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I call that prosperity. I don't know what you call that, but when I got everything I need, I don't have to think about me. I can just think about every good work. I call that prosperity.
Right.
Don't you?
Right.
That's what God said. I want you to get to a place you don't have to think about your bills and your stuff and all that. You can just think about how you can abound to every good work. I don't think I'm there yet. If you're there yet, praise God. But I don't believe I'm there yet. I'm further along than I was. But see what I'm saying, you know, you hear people just slap prosperity, hit the whole thing and say, you know, God doesn't care about money. Well, then why did He put 2,000 some odd verses in the Bible about it? Why, when Jesus showed up with Peter and all, He sunk their boat with so many fishes. Are you with me? Why did David say, my cup overfloweth? You know, it's spilling out, man. Come on. So, anyway, but we access all the blessings of God by faith. We access His grace by faith. Amen. And if you know, there's a scripture in Deuteronomy in the Old Testament where God talking about children of Israel. He said, "I'll hide my face and see what their end will be because they're children who have no faith." Now I thought about that, Pastor Chuck. It's not that God wants to hide His face and see what your end's going to be, but if you don't have any faith, that's all He can do is just see what your end's going to be. He can't help you without faith. You can't get saved without faith. By grace are we saved through what? Through faith, and that not of ourselves is a gift of God. You can't tap into the grace of God without faith. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ just to begin this thing. And so everything that every blessing that God has, it's received the same way you got into the kingdom. And see, that's what Paul told the church of Colossae, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. See, the way you got this thing started, keep walking that way. Continue in faith. Every blessing, every promise that God has in His Word, praise God, it's by faith. Amen. And so it's not about just hit or miss. It's about faith. So number one, we tap into the grace of God by faith. Let's go to James chapter 4, and I'm going to hurry through these things, but I want to get them out tonight. James chapter 4, the second way we tap into God's grace is by humility. Humility. Now, just what is humility? You know, old time Pentecost, they used to kind of think humility meant that you thought you were a worm, you know, and you downgraded yourself and so forth. But, you know, you could think lower yourself and think lower of me. See, C.S. Lewis said this. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Yeah. Isn't that good? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. See, humility means that you're able to take the back seat and let somebody else drive and be cool with it. Yeah. If that's the will of God. Right? See, you got to learn. See, like we said, the best place you can be is what God in the will of God. Yeah. Amen. And so we look at things different. You know, we look at things like, you know, people that have prestigious positions as that they're really something. But, you know, that's not the way God looks at it. He looks at those that are just doing what He told them to do. Right. That's the way He looks at it. Right? So you could have the guy that or the lady that's got the most prestigious position there is in America. But God may think the person that's just cleaning the church is higher than them. Right. Amen? You know, it's like years ago when they said to Billy Graham, why don't you run for president? He said, I don't want to take a step down. That's a lower office than what I'm doing right now. We respect the office of the president, but let me tell you, if you're in what God called you to do, you're in high cotton. Amen? And being a minister of the gospel is a privilege, a high honor. Amen. And the Bible says, no man takes his honor unto himself, but he that's called of God. Right. Amen. Now, so we have to understand that humility is not like, beating ourselves up and thinking low of ourselves. No, humility is just, you know, one thing humility is just being is just taking God at His word, and whatever He says, that's the way it is. Right? How do you tell if your child is humble? Well, they're just obedient to what you say, right? Now, in James chapter 4, look at this, verse 6. The Bible says, talking about God, He gives more grace. How many could use some more grace? I always take more grace. How about you? He gives more grace. Wherefore, He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So God, He resists prideful people. The proud, but He gives grace to the humble. The word resist means to oppose. He stands in the way of them. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, the Lord sees the proud afar off. And I add this, and that's where He keeps them. That's where He keeps them, afar off. Amen. You know, it's like I was talking to you, I don't know when it was, I was talking about how ministers, you know, when they put out their bio, you know what a bio is? I mean, their rap sheet, you know. When they put that out, you know, sometimes they can get a little bit braggadocious, you know. I pastor the fastest growing church in Zama County. Now, why did you have to say that?
Right.
Why?
Right.
First of all, it's probably not even true. Secondly, why do you have to use that to build yourself up? Amen. You know, I flow in all nine gifts of the Spirit. First of all, I don't believe you. Secondly, why'd you have to say all that? It'd be okay if you said, you know, God uses me to give Spirit. Nothing wrong with that. So people can know, have their expectations out. That would be fine. But just don't go beyond that. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. How many know there is such a thing as still being humble, right?
Yeah.
And God resists the proud. I don't know about you. I don't want God resisting me.
No.
I want His grace. And we can have more grace. Amen. How many know if anybody had a right to toot their horn, how many know it was Jesus? But the Bible said he humbled himself and became a servant and became obedient to death. Wherefore, God highly exalted him. See, let God exalt you. I said, let God exalt you. Amen. Let him do the exalting. Let him be push you forward. Because he'll push you forward in the right places. He knows, right? And so, well, he's awful slow. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Just obey God. Just obey God. Amen? So, you know, someone said this one time, to go up on God's elevator, you got to push the down button. I mean, that's what the Bible says. If you exalt yourself, you'll be debased. But if you debase yourself, you'll be exalted. Amen? Remember the Old Testament story? There's an Old Testament story about a man by the name of Naaman. How many remember Naaman? Let me tell you something about Naaman in case you don't know. Naaman was the captain of the host of Syria. So he was a very high government official. And just say like Secretary of State or something like that. He was a very high government official in Syria. And the Bible said he was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. He had a problem. And so one day there was a little Israeli young lady that was like a servant in his house helping his wife. And she said, I wish my master, talking about Naaman, was in Israel, because there's a prophet in Israel who could cure him of his leprosy, talking about Elisha. And so when he heard that, he wanted to go there and get healed. And so the king of Syria, his boss, sent him to Israel to get healed. And when he gets there, you know, he goes to Elijah's house. Now, you have to understand, This is a high government official. He's not going alone. He's got an entourage with him. He's got all kinds of, you know what I'm saying, right? I mean, you know, like if one of our ex-presidents, just recently, one of the fights of President Trump went to it, and there's like 30 Secret Service people with him, you know, plus everybody else that came. So it isn't like you just quietly enter the building. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everybody's going to know you are there. And so that's kind of what Naaman is. He's a high government official. And when he arrives, you know, he's used to prestige. He's used to royal treatment. He's used to people, you know, being impressed by him. And he comes with his chariot and all of his entourage to Elisha's house. And Elisha doesn't even go out and see him. See, I think God's doing something. There was something redeemable in Naaman. We'll see that in just a minute. And God's after this man, but he knows he's got a problem that needs to be broken. It's called pride. And so Elisha doesn't go out. He didn't even bother to go out. I mean, here he is. Can you imagine the President of the United States, you know, shows up and you don't even bother to go to the door? So he just tells him. He said, he told somebody, just go tell him to dip in the Jordan River 7 times and his flesh will come back new to him. He got mad. He said, man, the rivers in Damascus are far better than anything in Israel. Why can't I go dip in them and be healed? You know, that's what pride does. It tries to do things its way. Yeah. It tries to tell God how to do things instead of just letting God be God. And so he went away in a rage. He went away. And one of his servants, thank God for a good servant, he said, wait a minute, Master. He said, if he'd asked you to do a hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when he just says, go dip in the river and you'll be healed? And so Naaman went, he dipped in that muddy Jordan 7 times, and his flesh, the Bible said, came back to him as a little child. Now listen to what happened to him. He really softened his heart. And he went back to Elisha's house, and this time Elisha came out, and he said to Elisha, he called himself Elisha's servant. Did y'all hear that? He's not this big, high, mighty guy that you need to pay homage to. All of a sudden he says, your servant, I'm your servant. He said, now I know there's no other God in all the earth but in Israel. I know God, he's the real God. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, When my master goes in the house of Rimmon, the false god, he said, I have to go with him. He said, but I ask you to pardon me because I don't want to be there now. You know, he had to humble himself, didn't he? And he had to do it God's way. Amen. See, people don't understand sometimes why churches have guidelines and stuff. Well, one thing, because it weeds out a lot of the prideful people, it's going to cause you problems. Because you get people looking and say, well, you can't tell me what to do. Exactly right. That's why you're not working. Exactly. You got it. Sit, be happy, but you ain't working. Because I don't need to deal with you, and the other people that have authority, they don't need to deal with you either. Is that good preaching or what? That's not church friendly, I know, but it sure saves people a lot of heartache and a lot of strife and a lot of tore up churches. Amen. We haven't had a church split since we've been here. Well, I just see people haven't left. People have left. There's more left than stayed. If we had everybody been through here, we'd be in Robert State. Well, no, we wouldn't. Greg said that. They tore it down, Greg. We'd be in the Ford Center. But you know what? I'd rather have a small group and everybody happy, peaceful, content, and loving Jesus than have a bunch of rebels that doing their own thing. So you weed out a lot of people that way. It's just like, you know, nobody tells me what to do but God. No, he doesn't. Because if you listen to God, he'd say, submit yourself to one another and be humble and sweet and nice. Amen. Hey, it is good preaching. It's not seeker-friendly preaching, but it's good preaching. Amen. So we have to have humility if we're going to access God's grace. Amen. You know. Now, number three, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. I could preach on that, you could tell. 2 Peter chapter 1, go there. But, you know, it is important that we know we have to humble ourselves. That's what God said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. See, one of the ways we humble ourselves is by trusting God to take care of things in our life. See, because that takes, let me tell you, that takes a lot of humility to hand it over to God. It does. And you have to humble yourself and just realize, I'm not such a hot rod. I don't got it all together. Amen. You know, and I know, you know, some people have more of a problem with this because they can't. You know, did anybody ever remember a show called Happy Days? Remember that show? Remember Fonz? Remember that time he was wrong? I remember that. I forget what happened now. Remember, but he was wrong, and it took him all show to admit it. He would try to say it. I was woo, woo, woo. He couldn't get it out. Finally, near the end of the show, he got it out. I was wrong. Well, how many know we don't need to be like a spiritual Fonzies? Because let me tell you something. You have been wrong. I have been wrong many a time. Right? And we just realized that the way we think it is, it may not be that way. We got to be open. That's what preaching is all about, really. Is sometimes God just splatter barrels and hits people with things they need. And we need to learn to just receive that instead of getting mad or getting offended or getting upset. You know, I got angry one time years ago at a minister. He said something during the service that ticked me off, you know. It really did. It made me mad. And that doesn't happen to me very often because, you know, I'm always right. But anyway, well, there goes the message on pride. That was a joke, guys. But anyway, you know, it really did anger me. And I went to God, and the Lord said, he's right. I'm like, what are you going to say about that? Tell God he's wrong? You know, so we have to just be humble enough to admit that we don't know everything. We could be wrong and right and be open, you know what I'm saying? And let God teach us from his word, and let God teach us by his spirit, and let God teach us through the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word. Amen. You know, because you get people who come in a church like ours, and they never heard some of the things we say. Never. And some of them just don't have enough humility to set through it. It's like, well, that ain't the way I was taught. That ain't the way I was brought up. Well, maybe you better just sit down and listen. You don't have to believe it. You just have to, you ought to at least investigate it. Right? You ought to just look at the Bible. You don't have to believe it just because we said it. You don't have to believe anything because anybody said it except what God said. Right? Well, I just happen to know healing's passed away. Well, why do you know that? Well, I just was taught that. Well, maybe you were taught wrong. Look at the Bible. Don't believe it because I said it. Believe it because the Bible said it. Right? You know, people, I just know tongues have passed away. Well, how do you know that? Well, I just know because I don't speak with tongues. Well, just because you don't do something doesn't mean I don't eat broccoli, but it hadn't passed away. It's still out there. See, you have to understand, you have to have some humility and just say, I could maybe learn something. And just look at the Word and let the Bible talk to you, right? How many know? Let the Bible talk to you. Right? See, a friend of mine, he told me, he said, I was raised in a church that taught against the baptism in the Holy Spirit like what we teach it, and the evidence of speaking with other tongues. He said, I was raised against that. He said, one day I read the book of Acts from Acts 1 and started reading it and thought, well, that's not right. It's in the Bible. And got baptized with the Holy Spirit. Well, I mean, that's just humility to admit, well, just because I was taught that doesn't mean that's so.
Right. Come on.
Amen. There's been things that people have been taught for years that's just not so, but if you'll just humble yourself and admit that maybe I could learn something. Amen. I mean, I've had people come here, and because they haven't heard certain things, they get up and leave in the middle of the service because that's not the way we believe it. That's not the way we were taught. Well, maybe you weren't taught right. And if you're so secure in what you believe, why'd you run off? That just proves you really aren't that secure. Because when you're insecure what you believe, it doesn't matter. Listen, I don't care what you say. If I'm secure in a thing, it's not going to offend me or run me off. Because I know where I stand. I know what I believe. I mean, I could go to a church and they could say, well, tongues has passed away, healing's passed away. I'm not offended at you. I'm not running off. I'm just thinking, poor, poor, dumb thing. God bless you. You're going to do without. Right? Well, I'm not mad. I'm not offended because I'm secure. I'm sure what the Bible says because it's black and white, man. So I don't have a problem with you. I just feel bad for you. Amen. All right. Now, number three, we access God's grace through the knowledge of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied. What's that tell you? It tells us we could have more, doesn't it? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen. We hurt ourselves when we don't continually pursue the knowledge of God. You know, this was a revelation to me years ago to find out that the renewing of the mind is a continual ongoing thing. It's a continual process. You have to keep your mind renewed. See, in other words, there's always the world's always trying to conform. You know what I'm saying? See, our country is one of the main problems in our country, along with a lot of things. But one of the main problems in our country is we got leaders trying to make everybody conform to the same image, and it's their image, and they're pushing it, and there's pushback. And if they keep pushing it, they're going to push us into some real issues. I mean, we already have some real issues, but I mean things that they're going to regret. Because there are some of us are not going to be pushed into a mold. Some of us are willing to give our lives for what we believe. Believe it or not, there are some people still in America that have strong enough convictions to give their life for what they believe. And I happen to be one of them, and I hope you are too. I give my life for the gospel. I'm not budging on it. You with me now? And so you might as well forget it. It's not going to happen. Amen. So we have to, but you know what? It is happening to some in the church. Their minds are being conformed. They've lowered their standards. They've lowered their beliefs. Things that they didn't believe 20 years ago or they didn't permit 20 years ago, now it's acceptable and okay because we have to evolve. No, we don't evolve. We get transformed. We renew our mind. So we have to keep our mind renewed, see, right? You have to keep your mind renewed about the blessings of God, about healing and everything. Or listen, the devil will do his best to try to conform you into something different than the image of God. Amen. So we have to be constantly pursuing knowledge because we access God's grace by what we know, see. And so Hosea says we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah said we go into captivity because we have no knowledge. Amen. Jesus said If you're my disciples, continue in my word and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. If we're going to stay free, we have to keep pursuing the knowledge of God. Peter said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if we're going to keep growing in grace, how many want to grow in grace? And we're going to keep growing in grace, we have to keep growing in knowledge. And as we grow in knowledge, more grace. Glory to God. More grace. See, when I got saved, and I'm still doing this, but when I got saved, you know, I was on a pursuit of finding out what belonged to me in Christ. Once I found out, I actually had something in Christ. Now see, I don't understand a lot of what's going on in the church today that people aren't really hungry to find out. They're just good and satisfied to come and sit on Sunday morning and live normal, natural lives the rest of the week. I'm not that way. I never was that way. I want to live a spiritual life. I want to live a victorious life. Are you following me? I don't understand. You go in churches now, they don't bring their Bible or their device with their Bible on it. They just walk in with empty-handed. Why? Why? Because basically they're not going to be taught anything anyway, I guess. And even in churches, we're not pursuing the knowledge of God any longer. Amen. I mean, you look at, you know, I'm not talking about our church because, you know, however you like to bring your Bible, I like the hard copy personally. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm that way with books. I don't, you know, I've got, you know, iBooks on my iPad. But I don't hardly ever use it. It doesn't work for me. I like paper. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. You could be different. Some people are more electronic. Now, I'm not electronically challenged. Don't misunderstand me. I just don't like it. I like to have my Bible. If I want to write a note down, I can write it in there. You know what I'm saying? It's like Brother Copeland said one time. I can't imagine years from now when I'm gone that one of my great-grandkids says, oh, look, I found Grandpa's iPad. Yeah. No, I found Grandpa's Bible. And so I'm just, you know, maybe you say we're just old-fashioned. Well, I don't know. That's just me. I like it. But I'm just saying, you know, people sometimes, you know, you might have it on your phone. You might have it on your iPad. That's fine. But bring your Bible. Yeah. I mean, how do you know what I'm saying is the truth if you don't read it in the Word of God? You know, you get people like, well, you know, I just trust. Well, listen, thank God for trusting, but you got to verify. Is it in the Word of God? Amen. So, and here's what's happening. Here's what's happening. This is the issue. This is the real issue. Where people aren't being taught in churches to pursue the knowledge of God. See, here's the big thing about modern day churches. I'm not against modern day churches. I'm just against some of the stuff that's being put forth. It's weakening the church. Here's the big thing. They're all concerned about pulling off this fantastic Sunday morning service, and they're really not that concerned about you growing. They just want to put on a good show. I don't know about you. I'm more concerned about what the Word. I want to grow. Amen? All right, so number three, the knowledge of God. Number four, go to Hebrews chapter 4, and we'll close right here. Did you get something today? Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. And the fourth one is by boldness. We access God's grace by boldness. Boldness. Hebrews chapter 4. And if you got it, let's go to verse 16. The Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the Bible tells us if we're going to come to the throne and get grace, come boldly. What does that mean? Well, you got to act like you belong. You know what I'm saying? Not in an arrogant way, but you got to be bold. You know, you got to be bold about the things of God. If they're going to work for you, you got to be bold about it. You can't be timid. See, God didn't give us the spirit of fear or timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind. Now, you may not be one of these boisterous people, but you got to be bold about the things of the Spirit. Right. Amen. I learned that in the ministry. If I was just kind of timid about it, and not much is going to happen. But you got to be bold about it. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not arrogant, but bold. What did God tell Joshua? Be strong and of good courage. You got to be bold. You got to be strong. Jesus is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. You know, a lion, he doesn't turn from much. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's not much a lion won't attack. They won't mess with elephants because they're, how are you going to eat it, you know? You heard that story about the lion, you know, that went up to all the different animals in the forest, and he roared, "Roar! Who's the king of the jungle?" And those, you know, the giraffe said, "You are." You know, the antelope said, "You are." You know, he went to the elephant and roared, "Roar! Who's the king of the jungle?" The elephant wrapped his trunk around him, swung him in the air, let him go, stuck him head first into a hill. Bam! He pulled himself out and said, "Well, you don't have to get mad because you don't know the answer." But having that lion, he didn't turn from much, does he?
No.
Well, you know, because he's bold, man.
Yeah.
See, we need that kind of boldness, right? See, the Bible says about Peter and John that the authorities knew they'd been with Jesus when they perceived their boldness. Jesus was bold, man. I was reading last night. Talk about bold. It was in John's gospel. And he was preaching, and he made everybody mad, which seemed to happen with him. And he was in the temple, you know, and he ticked them all off, you know, and they took up stones to throw at him to cast him, you know, to kill him, you know. And the Bible said he snuck out through the midst of them. And I'm reading this, and you go into the next chapter, and it says as he was passing by, as he was leaving the temple, he saw a blind man and healed him. I'm thinking, here you go. They just tried to kill you. You just walk out the door, there's a blind man, you heal him on your way out. That's a bold preacher. You know, you'd be like trying to get out of there as fast as you can. They're trying to kill him. And he walks out the door and there's a blind man. Oh, well, let me heal him before we go on here. That's a bold guy, man. No wonder things work for him like they worked. Amen. So Paul prayed this as we close out. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, "Pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly and speak boldly as I ought to speak." Why? God backs boldness. God backs boldness. What does that mean? Well, you know, it doesn't mean arrogant. It doesn't mean we're rude. It just means that we're confident about what God said in His Word. And we don't back down from it. We're not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the fact. There are a lot of spirit-filled church have gotten ashamed of Pentecost, and they've lost the power. I'm not ashamed of Pentecost. I'm not ashamed to say that Oasis Church speaks in tongues. And if you don't want any of that, first of all, you should just come and check it out. Secondly, I'm not changing to fill the church. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick with God. Amen. I'd rather have a handful of people and people that love God and are bold than to compromise and hide it and offend God. I'd rather offend people than God. And really, you know what? Listen, you can tell me what you want to tell, but if you have the power of God working, listen, I went into a church before I was saved. It had the power of God working. And I got to tell you something. It didn't offend me. It scared me, but it didn't offend me. I realized, you know, when it's the real deal, people know that. You know what I'm saying? I knew it was the real deal. I told you my story. I said, if I ever get out of here alive, I'll never come back. But something got inside of me being in that service, and it drew me back. And I went back again, and I said, if I ever get out of here alive, I'll never come back. You know, because it freaked me out. I thought, I don't belong here. This is God's in this place. You know what I'm saying? Which is what Paul said ought to happen.
Right.
They ought to fall down on their face and say, God is with you.
Right.
Right?
Right?
And so, you know, if sinners can come in and they're just comfortable all the time, something's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we want to make it seeker friendly. You mean you want to just kick the power of God out? So that's what it means.
Right.
And that's not just happening in denominational church. That's happening in churches like ours where they're doing it today.
Yeah.
It's not happening in Oasis Church. Yeah, I'm going to stick with God. All right. Matter of fact, we're going to get more vile, wild, not vile, wild. That's what David said. I'll get more, thus more vile than this. That's an Old Testament, Old English word that meant we're going to get more wild. Hallelujah. You know, well, that's just not the recipe today. That's just not the end thing today. I'm not caring about anything. I care about God things. And I think you're going to find out that all the smoke and mirrors one day is just going to all fall off. And, you know, people are going to realize we don't have anything. Some are already, it's happening too. It's like, what happened? Well, you left it. I'm not leaving it, are you? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but man, I want God's grace more than I want anything else in my life. I want His grace. Hallelujah. So we access His grace by faith. We access His grace, you know, by humility. We access His grace by pursuing His knowledge, the knowledge of God. You know, what does that mean, pursue the knowledge? Well, get some initiative to study your Bible and read good, faith-filled books. Amen. And then we access it through boldness, by just being bold about the gospel, bold about what we believe, and bold to step out. Can I tell you one last story? One last story. See, you know, I was asking God, I hadn't been saved, but just a few weeks. And I was asking God, I want you to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. Because I was pursuing knowledge, and I found out about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And Lord, I just want you to use me. I want you to use me. But and I was praying in between service. It was we had Sunday morning service, and then we'd go to lunch, and then we'd have Sunday night service. And in between the service, I'm praying, and I'm saying, God, I just want you to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, where's that? I want to see that hunger come back. Right. I mean, ask God, please use me in the gifts of the Spirit. Please use me in the gifts of the Spirit. And the Lord spoke to me. I kid you not. He said, okay, I will tonight. I never forget it, Pastor Jerry. I said, tonight? Not tonight. I didn't mean tonight. I just meant sometime down the road. Really, this is honest God's truth. This was the conversation between me and the Lord. And now listen, listen how supernatural this was. The Lord spoke to me. He said, Sister Shannon, call her name, is going to give a message in tongues tonight in the service, and I want you to interpret it. I thought, now I'm nervous. I'm hoping I didn't hear from God. Well, we got in that service, and sure enough, there came this point near the end of praise and worship, Sister Shannon gave a message in tongues. Well, here's what I thought, because Pastor Eddie, if nobody interpreted, he'd always interpret, you know, because God used him that way, so he could. But sometimes God wants to use other people, but he could. So I thought, well, he'll do it, and he didn't. And you have to understand, this is a Pentecost church. 15 seconds of silence, they'll all go home. They'll think church is dismissed. And so, you know how in a time like that, 15 seconds seems like 15 minutes, you know? And it's quiet. And I'm standing right here in the back. I'm standing at the edge there. And there's an elder in the church standing by me. And God is my witness. He turned sideways, shoved me out in the aisle, and said, interpret that. That was my introduction to the gifts of the Spirit. I have no idea what I said, but obviously it wasn't too bad. I didn't get rebuked. But you know, you have to develop some boldness to step out, and God had to help me with this man. He says, interpret that. I'll never forget that. I thought, oh, thank you, Jesus. Why'd I pray this? I was hungry. Everybody say hungry. Let's all stand up. Hallelujah. Did you get something tonight? Yes. Grace is good, man. Grace, we need more grace and more grace and more grace. Amen. And it's not just up to God. It's up to us to access it. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.